Okay, good morning. We continue with our Nach Yomi series. We are up to Sefer Shmuel Aleph, the final perek. Big day. We finish Sefer Shmuel Aleph today. We are up to perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st perek. And now we're going to return back to Shaul. Shaul will be back in the picture. In yesterday's perek, we focused on David returning with his men to Tziklag, seeing that Amalek attacked, and Baruch Hashem, they got all their family back, they got all the spoils back, and David divided it amongst everyone who has helped him, and we see this precedence that even if the person didn't go out to battle, everyone can enjoy the spoils that they are entitled to. So now with back to Shaul, who the last time we saw Shaul, he was in Ein Dor. He went to the necromancer. He went to this woman who brought Shmuel up from the dead, and Shmuel told Shaul about his future, and he accepted it, saying, okay, I'm going to still go to this battle, I understand, and hopefully this will be a kapara, and I'll end up going to Gan Eden with you, Shmuel. I'll be with you up there. So what happens in this perek? The battle finally happens. The Plishtim were attacking the Jewish people, and as we've been saying the last few days, the amazing Hashkacha Pratis, that David is not involved in this battle. No good would have come from David being in this battle. He was in the land of the Plishtim, and the Plishtim almost had him out to go attack the Jews, but they all said, why would we want him here? He's the one who killed Goliath. So the battle begins, the Jews versus the Plishtim. The Plishtim have so many people. They have hundreds of thousands of people, and the Plishtim start attacking. The Jewish people start running. They run to Har Gilboa, and Pasuk Bet tells us a little bit of the strategy that the Plishtim had. Plishtim, who were hundreds of thousands of people, as I mentioned, they want to go kill Shaul and his sons. Vayakhu Plishtim at Shaul, that's Banav. And what happens? Vayakhu Plishtim, that they strike and they kill Yehonatan, one of Shaul's sons, Avinadav, Viet, Malki Shua, Bnei Shaul. They kill the three sons of Shaul. Vatichbod HaMilchama, the Pasuk tells us that the archers, the men of the Plishtim with the bows, they found Shaul, and Shaul was terrified. Vayachel ma'od mehamorim, and he was terrified. He was like, "Uh-oh, they're gonna kill me." And the worst would be if they, the Bar Benel points out, if they would actually just injure me, and then they could just sport with my body. I'm the king. It's a bizayon. I have to come up with a strategy now. I know they know where I am. Vayomer Shaul linosei kelev. Shaul says to his armor bearer, "You know, shelof charbecha vidarkini ba. Draw your sword and stab me. You know, kill me, and lest these uncircumcised people," referring to the Plishtim, "come and stab me and make sport of me. This will be a horrible situation. I'm the king." And the armor's bearer did not kill Shaul. So I'm reading from the Arshkol Nevi'im. He refused because he was scared of the heavenly punishment if he dared kill the anointed king. That's what the Mitzvot David points out. And the Arshkol Nevi'im also says, Shaul killed himself, which we're going to see. He ended up committing suicide. And although suicide is a grave transgression, like we see in Bereishis 9:5, the Chachamim explain that Shaul's case was an exception. The Radak says that this was because Shaul knew that he would die anyways, as Shmuel had told him, and he reasoned that it was better to die by his own hand than be tortured, killed, mocked, and disgraced, and then killed by the Plishtim. So a lot of the Mefarshim point out, it's very unique that he killed himself, but maybe part of another explanation brought down by the Mefarshim is that he was the king, and it would be a horrible example for the king to be sported with. They would take his body, and they would, which we're going to see actually ends up happening, so he was right. And then once he committed suicide, once he fell on his sword, which will be interesting to see tomorrow, we start Sefer Shmuel Beis. And in the beginning of the Perek, in the beginning of the Sefer, we see that there's actually someone who comes and says, "Oh, I was the one who killed Shaul." And people were like, "Wait, what? You killed him?" So it kind of brings questions a little bit of what really happened. But we see that Shaul took the sword and killed himself. So what happens next is the armor bearer saw that Shaul was dying. Shaul was about to be dead. Shaul killed himself. And he decides to kill himself as well with the sword, because he realizes, you know, I worked with Shaul. I was his general. I was involved with him. They're going to torture me as well. So I might as well do the same thing that Shaul did. And what happens next is that all the Jewish people are like, "Uh-oh, we're done." They start fleeing. They start running. And the next day, the Plishtim came into the city of Har Gilboa. They come where the Jewish people were before, and they see that Shaul is dead, his three sons. They found him on Har Gilboa, and they, of course, what we mentioned before, what do? They take Shaul's body, they sever his head, and they stripped off his gear, and they sent messengers all around the land of the Plishtim to inform people of what just happened, to show them that they have Shaul's body. They take his head, they put it in the temple near their idols, they placed his gear in Ashros, and they hung the remains of his body in Beit Shan. I see in the Arshkol Nevi'im that they brought the head of Shaul, they brought it to the Ark to Dagon's temple, and the idol, this is actually where the idol tumbled down, breaking off its head and arms. This is where when they stole the Aron, this is where they put it next to their god. And now the Plishtim reveled in displaying the head of their nemesis in the very place where their idol has been decapitated, when their idol fell, when it was in the presence of the Aram. So Yud Aleph tells us that, of course, this is such a sad story. The fact that Shaul's body's being displayed, and what a chil Hashem, what could be done? And Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us the inhabitants of Yavish Gilad heard about what the Plishtim did. And the inhabitants of Yavish Gilad never forgot. They never forgot what Shaul had done for them when he first became the king. King Nachash of Ammon, in the beginning, when we first started the Sefer, had threatened them with servitude and mutilation and gave them 7 days to respond to his ultimatum. And we saw that Shaul, who was the new king, the new anointed king, hasn't really even done so much yet. Right away he said, absolutely not, this is unacceptable, you're not going to be doing this to the people of Yavish Gilad. And of course, the people of Yavish Gilad have a tremendous amount of Akaras HaTov to what Shaul did for them at that time. So comes now, they see that Shaul's body is being disgraced, and they decide, you know, the inhabitants of Yavish Gilad hear about this. They go throughout the entire Plishtim cities. They, you know, they get the body parts of Shaul. They capture, they bring back his head, and they bring it back to the tree in Yavish, under the tree in Yavish. There they bury and burn a lot of the body parts so that the Plishtim will not be able to get them again. And they fast for 7 days. What an ending to a fantastic, fantastic Sefer. A lot of ups and downs. It felt like a movie. You never knew what was gonna happen next. And really, just to note, the way this Sefer ends, we see that the people of Yavish Gilad have a tremendous amount of respect and Akaras HaTov to Shaul. Shaul, who started off as the king, at the end they have respect for him. Even though Shaul knew that he was going to be killed in this battle, his sons were going to be killed, he still went out full confidence, this is what Hashem wants it to be. And he went out, he did not try to delay, he went straight out to the battle, and he is buried, he goes straight up next to Shmuel in Olam Haba. And really just an interesting character, Shaul, the ups and downs, the Ruach Ra Elokim, this evil spirit, this whatever you really want to call it, that would just keep on haunting Shaul, and the only way he would be calmed down was by having David around, but David would bring more jealousy within him, and Shaul was just jealous and nervous and scared of David. But Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to try to give a little shiur after Pesach, just going through this entire Sefer, just summing it up with the main messages that we can take out of it. And if a person thinks, you know what, the last 31 days, it was so much, I don't feel like I really made a kinyan on something, let's just review for 25 seconds of main points that we saw in the Sefer. We started off with Eli and Shmuel, that was the main focus. Then we focused on Shmuel and Shaul. We learned about Shaul and David playing the harp. David was the one who killed Goliath, and this all came after an unstable time with the leaders, without a leader for the Jewish people. This came after all the Shoftim, and Shmuel appointed the two kings. You see the complexity of the family relationship, the importance of friendship, David and Yehonatan, jealousy and fear. But at the end of the day, my main message I want to throw out of all of this is just, you see David HaMelech, David who's become the king, in times of despair, he just calls out to Hashem. This is when he wrote most of Sefer Tehillim. He just keeps on singing and writing to Hashem, saying, Hashem, what should I do in this situation? I know you're going to ultimately help me. As opposed to Shaul, when crisis came, he did not necessarily act in the same way of just turning to Hashem in moments of crisis. Be'ezrat Hashem, we will pick up with Sefer Shmuel Bet tomorrow. Have an amazing rest of the day. And Yasher Koach to everyone for joining us on this amazing, amazing limud. Kol Tov.